Sermon off today. Not that Mr. Beatles has done a bad job or anything, but I actually want to turn to a hymnal, This was planned. He didn't know that, but actually we'd like to start by looking at hymn number 89. What was interesting is I gave this sermon in Kansas City last Sabbath, and right before I walked up on the stage, the song before was this hymn, so it fit in rather perfect. But I would like to look at hymn number 89, "Oh, Give Thanks and Praise the Eternal." And it says, I'll just read the first verse, but it says, "Oh, give thanks and praise the Eternal, call upon his sacred name. Let his deeds be known among nations, sing to him, sing songs of praise. Tell of all his marvelous wonders, glory in his most holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek God and fear his name. Worship him forever and ever, never forget his wonderful works." Never forget his wonderful works. It is very good for us to remember his wonderful works, and they are so great. We are to dwell on and focus on his wonderful works, with the opportunity to dwell on or to meditate on or to focus on so many other stresses that are out there, as was also brought up in the sermonette. It is good that we focus on God's wonderful works. And this is a part of being a thankful people. God wants us to be a thankful people. And as a part of being a thankful people, it's hard to be thankful if we are not, or thankful to God, if we aren't focusing on the wonderful works of our Creator God. It is very good for us to focus on the wonderful works of God. And you think about wonderful works, there are so many that God provides. One of the greatest works, if not the greatest, is what he's doing with you and I, the work that he is completing, that is a wonderful work, that finished product, and helping us to be more like him, be more like his son, Jesus Christ. And that is such a wonderful work, that finished product. And listening to the sermonette by Mr. LaPont, as you know, he turned to those scriptures, some of the promises of God, and think about the completion. You know, that is so encouraging. That is why we have hope. That is what we should focus on, because it is very encouraging to us. And it does help battle those seeds of doubt that Satan, the devil, wants to sow. Let's turn to Psalm 77 in verse 11, and we contemplate the wonderful works of God and how good it is to dwell on the wonderful works of our Creator God. Let's turn to Psalm 77. Psalm 77 in verse 11. Actually, I'd like to start in verse 7, because here we have a little different focus, and maybe it's one that's doubting than the psalmist here, and maybe there's a bit of doubting, or has God forsaken me, or will he? So the focus is maybe more on the self than on the wonderful works of our Creator God. But he says, "Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he shut up his tender mercies?" And I'll touch on it a little bit later on as we'll look at the loving kindness of our Creator God. Part of his wonderful work is his loving kindness, his faithfulness, that covenant loyalty, that word being hesed in some places, that there's that covenant loyalty, there's that faithfulness, there's that stability of God. And he will not forsake us. We have entered into a covenant with him, and there is that wonderful love that he provides to us. But here is this doubt a little bit from the psalmist. And then it goes on, "And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord." And sometimes there is that choice of what will you focus on? What will I focus on? Is it going to be on the stresses of this world? Or will we purposely focus, "I will remember the works of the Lord"? Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples, and you have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. So we see we're starting to go down a wrong path. But it says, no, I will focus, I will remember your wonderful works. And there's a different focus that he chose, a different mindset. And that's the way it is in our life. We have choices to make. You know, how often have you tossed and turned at night and you've had trouble sleeping because you're focusing on the wonderful works of God? Typically, what keeps us up at night is the worry, the angst, the stress of this world, and those details that maybe Satan is sowing and wants us to focus on. Maybe we think about the microwave that needs to be fixed or replaced. And, you know, I was thinking about this a little bit, just the wording, a microwave. And, you know, there are those, sometimes it's the, there are the microwaves of stress. There are the small wave. And it's a combination of these microwaves that creates a big tidal wave in our mind. But you know, you start thinking about the wonderful works of God, and it should be a tidal wave of positivity and thinking and focusing on the wonderful works of God. But we must meditate on it. How do we focus on God's wonderful works? Of course, you know, it's a wonderful setup from the sermonette. And I told him what to speak on. No, he did not. Yeah, but, you know, just thinking about that as he was speaking, that's just going to fit in perfectly. So kind of the alley-oop pass, and I'm trying to go up for the dunk. I'll probably get stuffed by the rim, but that's okay. You know, I have to at least try to throw in one basketball analogy per sermon, even when it doesn't fit. But you know, the focus, you know, to really focus on God's wonderful works. It is good to think about the details of our lives. You know, it's when we think about the very details of focusing on God's wonderful works, where God has answered prayers so specifically, you know that it was not just coincidence. What an incredible blessing to think about how God is involved in our day-to-day life and the way it is. And I think that's what's hard to grasp. I was having this conversation with another individual this past week, and something had come together in a certain way where you just had no other explanation other than God intervened in that situation. And but it was a very kind of a small detail. And you think, how does he do that in all of our lives, you know, simultaneously working with us individually in the details of our lives where we have that personal relationship with him? That's amazing to think about, that he is involved in the details of his people's lives and those he's working with. That's an amazing work to consider. It's one of his wonderful works. You know, the young people here, the youth, you know, God is working with you, even at a young age, to think that he's already has a plan for you in the womb, you know, before being born. And yet now he is working with you, and you can have that relationship, young or old, to have that very close relationship with our Creator God. It's hard for us to contemplate, but it is a marvelous wonder to consider. Psalm 71 and verse 17. Psalm 71 and verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth. Even in the younger years, he is teaching us. He's working with us for those that he has called according to his purpose. And to this day, I declare your wondrous works. You know, now he's older, and he's still declaring those wonderful works. It was a wonderful work in his youth, and now even when older. Oh God, who is like you? Oh, I jumped down. But that's a good verse too. We'll get there, but just not right now. And to this day I declare your wondrous works, now also when I am old and gray-headed. O God, do not forsake me, unless I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. Also your righteousness, O God. You know, you see he's detailing some of the wonderful works of God. And also your righteousness, O God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have shown me great and severe troubles shall revive me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. His wonderful works. You know, we have trials and stresses in this life, but yet God helps us through that and brings us to another place to continue to move forward in a positive way, where there's comfort on every side. Some verses say where there's rest on every side. Young and old alike, we have a lot to be thankful for. We have much to be thankful for, and we must think about those wonderful works so that we can be the thankful people that God wants us to be. So why does God want us to be thankful? Why is it that he wants us to be a thankful people? That's really the primary focus of this sermon. There is one aspect we have to choose to be thankful. There's a focus that we are to have, but why does he want us to be thankful? And it's always good to look at the why, I believe, year after year, even, you know, at the Feast of Tabernacles, somebody, and a lot of times it was Mr. Armstrong, who would ask, why are you here? It is always good to remember. You know, you have all of these people at the Feast of Tabernacles year after year. You think they know why they're there, but yet we do need to be reminded of why we are here. Well, why does God want us to be thankful? Why are we here? Why do we do what we do? Why do we keep the Ten Commandments? Why do we keep the annual holy days? Why do we tithe? Why is it good for us to be giving and have a giving heart? Why does God want us to be a thankful people and dwell on his wonderful works? Though a small part of the puzzle, a small piece of the puzzle, one part of it, and typically this is the way it is with spiritual principles, there is also sometimes the physical benefit, and they really go hand in hand, and there are the physical benefits to so many of God's spiritual principles, and you think about clean and unclean meats, you know, there is a spiritual principle in that, not being unclean, we're set apart, we are holy, we are to be clean and pure in what we do and what we take into our bodies. There's a spiritual principle to that. But then there is the physical blessing of not eating those things that are wrong. There is a health law. The same actually is applied with thankfulness and being thankful. Why is it good that we do focus on God's wonderful works? Why is it good that we are a thankful people? Part of it is physical. There is a physical element to being thankful. Robert Emmons, author of the book Thanks, How the New Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier, states gratitude is literally one of the few things that can measurably change people's lives. Grateful people report higher levels of positive emotions, life satisfaction, vitality, optimism, and lower levels of depression and stress. You know, just as was mentioned in the sermonette, as you think about, you know, with that focus, or, you know, that hope that we can dwell on, it does combat depression. And there is proof that actually this thankful attitude that can actually help our heart and our physical bodies. Researchers have found that when we think about someone or something we really appreciate and experience the feeling that goes with the thought, a parasympathetic calming branch of the nervous system is triggered. This pattern repeated bestows a protective effect on the heart. The electromagnetic heart patterns of volunteers tested in the song service, no, the electromagnetic heart patterns of the volunteers tested become more coherent and ordered when they activate feelings of appreciation. And it goes on to even say there's evidence that when we practice bringing attention of what we appreciate and less complaining in our lives, more positive emotions emerge, leading to beneficial alterations in heart rate variability. This may not only relieve hypertension, but reduce the risk of sudden death from coronary artery disease. So it is interesting that a thankful attitude can possibly help in our physical lives as well. Again, the world that we live in is riddled with stress, anxiety, fear, worry, doubt. And it is becoming more of a world that is consumed with anxiety. More and more people, I think, are in a little bit more of a fragile state, very sensitive, just right on edge. You have to be almost careful with what you so careful with what you say and do, because it could push them over the edge. There is an anxiety there. And it can be a vicious cycle, because the mindset that we are to have that will help in anxiety is not permeating society at this time. Typically, it's nowhere to be found. Philippians 4 and verse 6. It could be a vicious cycle if we don't have this particular attitude in our life. If we aren't focusing on the wonderful works of God and finding thankfulness in our lives. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4 and starting in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Well, that's very hard to do. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. So be anxious for nothing, and in everything, be thankful. And what happens is that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So why is there a positive consequence physically when we are thankful? Well, it's a part of a law that God has set in place, and is a part of having the right focus and the right mindset. It can help us physically, help us have a peace of mind that we need, less worry, less doubt, and really more faith in our Creator God. It is impossible to please our Creator without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And sometimes our faith is affected by what we choose to focus on. Focus on God's wonderful works, or focus on the next distraction which can hinder our faith. So many times the Israelites had the opportunity in this category. Do we focus on that next giant to come, that next hurdle? And they did face very difficult situations. They faced not having food. They face potential death these are the things that they were facing, and so it was very difficult for them to remember the wonderful works of God. And I believe that it was mentioned in one of the hymns that we sang, Moses' new song, or the Great I Am. You know, there was those opportunities to focus on God's wonderful works, but instead, it led to complaining. They did not want to focus on the wonderful works of God. It was always the distraction that was right in front of them. I think of it a little bit like, you know, when you can only see it in one way. There's only one place that you're going to focus on. It's right there. You think about sibling rivalries, or maybe, somebody at school you don't get along with and kind of butt heads, and the teacher pulls them aside. Maybe they've been kind of fighting a little bit. And they say, you know, I want you, Johnny, to tell Bobby three things you like about him, as a way to help them come around, you know, because here they've been best friends for so long, and now, you know, they can't see anything that's good with this individual. So tell me three things you like about him. No, I can't think of anything. You know, it's like, well, come on, you can think of something. You know, you spent the last half the year playing with him. You know, but sometimes one can get into a certain mind. I can't remember any of the wonderful things that God has done for us. You know, if we have trouble thinking of the great things that he has done in our life, then we have to take a step back and think about, you know, am I thankful for God? What's my focus on? What am I dwelling on? What am I meditating on? Too often, we're concentrating on what Satan is doing to build stress, and instead of what God is capable of doing. And of course, there are going to be situations where we feel like we take a step forward and then we take two steps back, and don't like that dance routine. You know, that's the two-step, they call it. I don't know. I don't dance, you know. But, you know, Katie at home, she has been trying to teach some of the boys, I think it's the two-step, and I think they're getting it. I just, not capable, I don't think. I can't remember the movie exactly, but there is the individual, you know, he's sitting down and they are interviewing the individual, and he's talking to his wife about how the first time they met, she kept, they were on the dance floor and she kept stepping on his feet, and really he has trouble dancing. You know, he's got two left feet, and they're talking to him, and then they pan down at his feet, and he did have two left feet. you know, those are my type of movies, I think, my type of humor. But, you know, most people don't have two left feet. So we do try to dance with our wives, and we give it a go. You can't use that excuse, although maybe I've tried once or twice. But we have a choice with what we think about, what we view, and what we focus on. There are those stresses, a new variant that we hear about. You know, what are we going to dwell on? What are we going to focus on? The future is unknown. I mean, there are those thoughts of what will the supply chain be like? I'm talking to my brother. He's an analyst, and he deals with a lot of vendors from Walmart. And there are some challenging things ahead with the supply chain. On the way back from Thanksgiving, we stopped quickly at a Wendy's because we just waited too long, and it was fast food. That was about it. So we pulled in. We go to the door, and on the door it said, "This is Wendy's." You know, this is the Wendy's who has the commercial from, you know, olden days, I guess, where what is it? We've got the beef. Where's the beef? Where's the beef? And the old lady was really kind of disgruntled with the other places. Where's the beef? You know, but Wendy's, you know, we have the beef. And we go in there, right on the sign says, "We have no beef. We're out of beef." I thought, you know, if I was to have a TikTok account or Instagram, that would be a good picture to take at Wendy's. The place, "Where's the beef? We have no beef." So I'm like, that's not good for the supply chain. Wendy's has no beef. Well, what does the future hold? You know, we could think about the future, the unknown of the future, or will we focus on what God has done for us over and over again? What will we go to sleep counting? The future stresses, or do we count our many blessings and name them one by one? It is good for us. Psalm 92 in verse 1. Psalm 92 in verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. Is it good for God? Is that what this is saying? No, it's saying it's good for us. It is good for us to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And when we come to services week after week, it is with a thankful attitude. We're so grateful to be here. We're thankful for the calling that he's given us. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to come before him and his presence and the angelic realm that is no doubt here during that song service and praises to him. To declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp, with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in your works of your hand. It is good for us to give thanks to God. William Penn, one of the founding fathers who set up the new colonies on the road to democracy and religious freedoms, he once said, "The secret of happiness is to count your blessings while others are adding up their troubles. Again, we have a choice. What are we going to focus on? We see troubles in the world today, and some that could possibly be quite close to home can create rest, but we must take that advice, it's still timely today, and focus on those wonderful blessings instead of counting the trouble. We have the opportunity to do this week after week here as we give thanks to God, as we worship God, as we sing praises to God in the song service. When we worship God with our whole heart, it is very good for us to give thanks to God, to wholeheartedly praise God. And that should be our attitude week after week when we come before Him. It isn't, you know, we're not gracing God with our presence by being here. Well, he should just be happy that I'm here. You know, I've seen some of that before. You know, just to be happy that I'm here, you know. That's not the right attitude. The attitude is we yearn to be here because we need to have the right perspective. We need to recognize how great God is and the wonderful blessing that He has given us in our life, the wonderful work that He has started in our personal lives. We are to be in awe of God's mercy in our lives, knowing that there is forgiveness, that there is mercy, that there is love that has been extended to us, that we would have no hope if it was not for the promises that He has set before us, if it was not for all that He and Jesus Christ have done so that we can have eternal life. That is a part of worshiping God, is to recognize those wonderful promises of God and to give thanks to God. Psalm 100 and verse 1. Now notice the attitude here. You know, a song of praise for the Lord's faithfulness of His people, a psalm of thanksgiving. Psalm 100. And we think about as we enter into His gates week after week, with what attitude we should come. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. You know, to declare His faithfulness, His wonderful works, we should consider that always. Psalm 105 and verse 1. Psalm 105 and verse 1. And again, the heading under this chapter in my Bible is the eternal faithfulness of the Lord. And we think about God's faithfulness, His loving kindness, that covenant loyalty, it's unmatched. His faithfulness is unmatched. And we should think about that. Psalm 105 and verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing to Him, sing psalms to Him. Talk of all His wonderful works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O seed of Abraham, His servant, you children of Jacob, His chosen ones. And we're going to get into a little more about the covenant too. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers His covenant forever. Even that better covenant. He was always faithful to the covenant that He had with Israel. They were unfaithful on their part, which is why there had to be a better covenant. They were unfaithful. It was because of their actions. He remembers His covenant forever. The word which He commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which He made with Abraham and His oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute to Israel as an everlasting covenant. We should meditate on the faithfulness of God, that covenant loyalty, this loving kindness, hesed being that Hebrew word. Psalm 103 in verse 1, as we have an example in mentioning hesed. Psalm 103 in verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." That loving kindness, the hesed, the covenant loyalty, his faithfulness, the faithfulness that is beyond the faithfulness that we could try to match. I mean, we must have the faith of Christ to uphold the covenant that we are in. But it's that type of stability that he offers, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. All that is within me, as it says. I mean, think about that attitude. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, with our whole heart, give thanks, partly because of his faithfulness, that covenant loyalty that he has with his people, such love. You know, Israel was to be the example. Israel was to set the example. And they were like an unfaithful bride to him. You know, it was like a marriage relationship. It would be that wife that would set the example, that good example. And Israel cheated on him, basically. You know, that was how descriptive it was in Hosea. You know, that was what Israel did. And as you think about our nation, you know, it's hard for our nation to say, "In God we trust." Not a good direction that we're going as a nation, as a modern-day nation of Israel. But the word here for loving kindness in Psalm 103, it is hesed. And the Holman Christian Bible, Standard Bible, renders hesed twice as covenant loyalty, and might be the best translation here. But the hesed of God, the covenant loyalty, is dependable, it's consistent, it's unwavering. It's his faithfulness to the covenants and a covenant that we are a part of today, the better covenant. He's always faithful to the covenants that he was in. The covenant with Abraham and the better covenant today. But all that is within us, we should recognize his faithfulness, his wonderful works. When you think about all that is within us, you know, we think about how we should worship God and to what attitude we should have as we come before him. I think about all that is within us, giving thanks to him or focusing on his wonderful works. I think about David and his reaction when the ark returned to Israel. He was overjoyed. He was dancing. He was dancing and thrilled, and maybe made, I believe, Saul's daughter uncomfortable. And she didn't like that. She didn't like what he was doing. Let's turn to 2 Samuel 6, verse 12. You see this description of David. He didn't care what others thought. He was just thrilled with the ark being back. So thankful to God. 2 Samuel 6 and verse 12. 2 Samuel 6 and starting verse 12. "Now it was told King David, saying, 'The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God.' So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And so it was when those bearing the ark of God had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, that David was wearing a linen ephod." Now, you know, when I think about the dancing, it talks about, I think, him turning. We'll get to that point. But at the Feast of Tabernacles, one particular feast, the director, it was a very moving song. It was one that he had wrote. And it was at a very climactic part, but he did a little spin on there. And it was not disgraceful at all. And it was very inspiring, actually. But it kind of, as that happened, it reminded me of this verse, and multiple people that I talked to as well, they thought of that as well. You know, it was towards God and his greatness, and it was pure joy and enthusiasm in praising God with psalm. We'll continue on here. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all his house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. He didn't care what others thought about him. It was between him and God, and his thankfulness was to God. And when we come before God each week, we sing praises to him, and it's between us and God. And so we don't worry about what other people think of how we sing, what we sound like. If we make a joyful noise, that's what we do. But it's a joyful noise. It's our thankfulness and gratitude to God. I had one individual, tell another lady, it was a long time ago, but she was singing, and this other lady was behind her, and she, in the middle of the song service, said, "You're not singing loud enough. You need to sing louder." It's like, is that the right attitude, coming before God with praises? You know, worry about what other people are doing or not doing, and it really doesn't matter what others think. It's between us and God. And, so what if Saul's daughter was annoyed? how does Satan does not like it if we praise God with song, with our whole heart. And God knows to what level of gratitude we have. But coming to this point of thankfulness and gratitude in the right mindset, sometimes it does take effort. It takes a diligent focus on our part. Here are a few things that we can keep in mind, or if we are to maintain a focus approach and a thankful attitude. Keep a gratitude or thankfulness journal and do it faithfully every day. Look for something that you are thankful for. Write it down in great detail, including why you're thankful for it and the results. Then include that item in your prayer for that day to God. You think about some tangible ways of including this in your life. Every day, express thanks or gratitude to at least one person. Maybe it's just going through the checkout at a grocery store and thanking the individual who's bagging the groceries, whatever it may be. Resist criticizing and look for the positive in people. The expression can be verbally or it can be a handwritten note. Look at the list of scriptures on thankfulness and gratefulness. Some each day, and make a note about what the scripture means to you and how it will affect our thankfulness or your thankfulness and what the results are. So in all that we do, we want to be thankful. And with our whole heart, be thankful to God, something that we must practice daily. And if we are to endure to the end, if we are to stay on that road leading to the kingdom of God, we must have a thankful heart. Colossians 3 and verse 12. You think about a great work that God has started with us all. You think about the marvelous wonders that God is doing. It is a marvelous wonder that he is working with us so closely. Colossians 3 and verse 12. And as we think about our calling and what he has called us to be a part of, this is a part of the growth in character. Part of it is becoming a more thankful people and being thankful. Colossians 3 and verse 12, if there's nothing else that we, for whatever reason why we are to be thankful, it is because we are commanded. That is part of why, because God says so. Now we can use that, but it's sometimes good to know why. We could tell our children, because I said so, and we could take that as the only reason, because God said so, because it's a part of our calling, because it's a part of the growth, because it's a part of becoming more like Christ. Colossians 3 and verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies. So here we have some marching orders for those that God is calling. Colossians 3 and verse 12. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So we should be very quick to forgive and put it out of our minds. You know, if someone has faulted us for whatever reason and says, you know what, please forgive me, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, then we should quickly forgive them and move on. Okay, I understand and I forgive you, let's move on together. Because Christ forgave us. We need that as well. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. So to what we were called, here we are called to one body, and be thankful. As a part of the body of Christ, we are to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace to your hearts to the Lord. Some examples of being thankful. And whatever you do, in word and deed, whatever we do, this is talking about our calling. This is talking about putting on the character of the new man. It's talking about what we have been called to do, our marching orders. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So if for no other reason to be thankful or to attempt to be thankful, it is a part of your calling. It is a part of my calling. And we are to be a thankful people. But then it gets into some other details, some roles, roles within the Christian household, roles within, you know, relationships. And really, it's going to be impossible to fulfill these roles without being thankful. It's hard to submit to a husband if we're not thankful for a husband. It's hard to show love to your wife or your spouse if you're not thankful for your spouse. It's hard to be respectful to mom and dad if you're not thankful for mom and dad. So with this, in setting it up, this is not a chapter break. It just continues on. But in this premise of your calling and giving thanks, now we get into some very tangible things to implement, and we must do it with thanksgiving. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. How difficult would it be to fulfill these roles without thankfulness? Very difficult. Because the end result of unthankfulness actually leads us in a very bad place without it. Now you think about the world that we're in, and there's so much focus on victim mentality, unfairness, violence, cruelty, suffering, and just general weirdness that we see in this world. It starts with an unthankful mindset. Let's turn to Romans 1 and verse 20. Romans 1 and verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even by his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, that their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. The end result of ignoring God's greatness and not being thankful to God is a very sad state. It's a darkened state. It's a wisdom that is actually foolishness. We must not forget to be thankful to God. Lucifer, who was perfect in beauty and full of all wisdom, as the scriptures say, perfect in beauty, perfect in wisdom, it wasn't enough. He was not thankful, and he wanted to take the place of God himself, and whatever wisdom he had became foolish and darkened. He failed to give God the glory. So it's very important that we remain thankful. so that the wisdom that God has granted us does not turn to foolishness and darkness. Ephesians 5, as we start to wrap things up, Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Ephesians 5 and verse 15. In the age that we're in and how we are to walk, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We want to walk wisely, not as fools, not in darkness. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then here we get to how. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Sounds like a thankful, grateful attitude. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. Again, here we have it again. This thankful attitude that we are to have so that whatever wisdom we have is not darkened, is we don't become fools, but it starts with remaining to be thankful. And then submitting to one another in the fear of God. And that next set of scripture goes over the roles again. Is there a pattern here? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You think about those details of the roles. And then in chapter 6, children and parents. But how much of it starts with thankfulness and love towards one another? Again, it's very difficult to show the right love or to submit in the right way and to fulfill those roles and to do our part without gratefulness and thankfulness towards one's mate. Again, covenant loyalty, hesed, faithfulness. When it comes down to it, it's this example of adultery, really. Israel was not faithful to the covenant that they were in with God the Father and Jesus Christ. They were not faithful to that. They did not have covenant loyalty. And as was explained in Hosea, because of that, they're basically a harlot. Adultery is what it leads to. They were not thankful to God. They were complained about God and all that he did to provide. So they looked to be provided for in other ways, false gods. Israel cheated on God. There was not that covenant loyalty on their part. 1 Peter 3 in verses 1 through 7. Two scriptures to conclude. 1 Peter 3. We must be thankful for our spouses and fulfill the role that God has given us because it can affect our relationship with our Creator. 1 Peter 3 in verse 1. 1 Peter 3 in verse 1. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by their conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. part of being thankful and being able to fulfill those roles, thankful for our spouses, is it can affect our relationship with our husband or wife. My wife. when you're talking in different first person, third person, I'll get that straight. My wife, though. But it can affect our relationship with God. So it's very important that we are thankful. Ultimately, it is to God. Philippians 1 and verse 3, final scripture to conclude. Philippians 1 and verse 3. Here Paul is so thankful for the brethren. He's thankful for that good work, that wonderful work that God has started with the brethren. And he was thankful for them. Philippians 1 and verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful work that God has started with us. In this, we can be thankful. God is completing a good work in us. He is going to be faithful on his part. There is that loving kindness that he has, that faithfulness that is so secure, that covenant loyalty that will endure forever. And that is a part of his love and his faithfulness towards us. That is a major reason to be thankful, to dwell on the wonderful work that he has started with each one of us. That should bring us to a point of thanksgiving. His loving kindness, that hesed, the covenant loyalty, his consistency, his faithfulness, his wonderful works. And as we're told in Revelation 7, he is worthy of praise forever, and our attitude should be of thanksgiving and thankfulness to God for all time. I'll conclude with Psalm 89. Or hymn 89, excuse me. But it is a psalm, Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks and praise the eternal, call upon his sacred name. Let his deeds be known among nations, sing to him, sing songs of praise. Tell of all his marvelous wonders, glory in his most holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek God and fear his name. Worship him forever and ever, never forget his wonderful works.